just saw the remarkable movie called Of Gods and Men. It's a French film about the Trappists of Tiberin. These were seven very brave men who were murdered by Muslim extremists in 1996. Though it's often overlooked, the 20th century was the great century of martyrs in the history of Christianity. More people were killed for their Christian faith in the 20th century than in all the 19 previous centuries combined. It's fascinating how these seven men who died in 1996 were among the last to die for their faith in that terrible 100-year period. Tell the story of these transplanted Frenchmen, French Trappists, who had settled themselves in a very simple monastery in the Atlas Mountains of Algeria. They worked among almost exclusively Muslim people who lived in the little villages and towns around them. One of the Trappists is a doctor called Brother Luke, and he takes care of hundreds of people every day that come for simple medical needs. The abbot is an extraordinary character who spends a lot of his free time studying the Quran to get a better sense of the people with whom he works and for whom he prays. The prayer life of the monks is very beautifully depicted in the film. It's a very quiet film. In the European style, you know, we're used to kind of a bang-bang editing in our movies, lots of action. There's very little action in this movie. It's typical European. But it conveys very effectively, I think, the texture and quality of the Trappist life, a life of simple service and above all prayer. So we see and we hear the monks at prayer throughout the movie. Well, the drama of the movie centers around this increasing violence in the region of the monastery, prompted by a group of Islamist extremists. And first they hear just rumors of violence. But then it comes very close to home as a group of Croatians are discovered dead with their throats slit. And the monks realize that they're in danger at this point. Well, then on Christmas Eve evening, a group of armed, you know, soldiers come into the compound of the monks. Very dramatic scene because the abbot, Frère Christian, Brother Christian, comes out. And very coolly, he tells them, this is a house of peace, a house of prayer, and so arms are not allowed. So they refuse to surrender their arms, so he said, well, then we'll go outside. We won't talk in here. Once outside, he reminds them that this is Christmas Eve, and they're celebrating the birth of the prophet Isa, of course, Jesus, Isa, who is reverenced by Muslims. And so the gunmen are a bit embarrassed, and I think also impressed by Brother Christian's courage, and they slink away into the night. But the Trappists realize that this was just a moment, and soon enough, more ruthless gunmen would be back. They know they're in very serious danger, and so they begin to deliberate and debate about whether they should stay or go. From the beginning, the abbot, Christian, is absolutely adamant that they should stay in accord with their Benedictine vows of stability and also out of love for the people they've pledged to serve. They should stay just where they are. Other brothers in the community are not as convinced, and they say, well, you know, this is just suicide for us to stay. I think among the most affecting scenes in the movie are these beautiful depictions of how these very serious Christian gentlemen debated the question of whether they should stay or go. And no one is pilloried. No one is seen as a bad guy. They're all with respect and great intelligence and spiritual alertness raising these issues. Well, in time, they all come around. In time, all the brothers decide to stand with their abbot, and yes, they're going to stay. There's a great scene involving Luke, who is the physician. Luke is played by Michael Lonsdale, who is a wonderful Anglo-French character actor. You remember him from The Day of the Jackal, that film from many years ago. He played the French policeman who tracks down the jackal. He was also the corrupt abbot in The Name of the Rose. So I'm going back to probably the early 70s, now the mid-80s. So he's an old man now, great actor, and he plays Luke. But Luke tells the abbot that he's discovered freedom. And he's talking about the freedom of detachment, which is key to the Christian spiritual life. Whether I'm safe or in danger, whether I'm successful or not, he says, I'm going to stay. I'm a free man, you know. Right after that, we have a scene that stayed in my mind. I think it's the most remarkable scene in the movie. There's a painting of Jesus carrying his cross. And it shows, in this typical kind of European meditative way, without a word being said, it shows Frère Luc embracing the image of Christ. He's, as it were, caressing the image of Christ with his eyes closed, you know. What struck me was, it's a free man acknowledging the source of his freedom. So Christ going to the cross is the ultimate free man, doing the will of his Father despite all of the dangers and obstacles. Well, as the brothers knew, the gunmen eventually came. This time, they were more dangerous. They came one night and they dragged the monks from their beds, and they put them into a van, and they drive them far off into the country. The last scene of the movie is these older men being force-marched into the forest on a very cold, wintry day. And we see the snowy atmosphere just sort of closing in around these men as they go into the woods. The movie doesn't show us what happens to them. They were all killed, and they were beheaded. Their headless bodies were found later. So it's an extraordinary, grim and yet gripping tale of these courageous monks. But now here's what struck me. I remember even as I approached the movie thinking, why is it called Of Gods and Men? What's that all about? Is it about, you know, the Islamic God versus the Christian God? And it becomes very clear that's not what it's about at all. They tell us now in the beginning, the citation comes from Psalm 82. And once we get this, we see that this movie, which is very quiet, very meditative, is actually a very edgy movie. It catches this challenging, properly militant quality of Christianity. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Psalm 82 is a peculiar psalm. It shows the true God, the one high God, who is addressing false claimants to divinity. Gods, small g if you want. He says, "The gods neither know nor understand, wandering about in darkness, and all the world's foundations shake. I declare," this is the true God speaking, "gods though you may be, yet like any mortal you shall die, like any prince you shall fall." Now see what that is, the high God, the true God, passing judgment on false claimants to divinity. Now, in a biblical framework, we're talking about spiritual beings, if you want, false gods, who are meant to produce justice but haven't done it. And the true God is pronouncing their fall. See? Now, what I would do, though, with this movie is I would broaden this out a bit. Who are these false gods, these claimants to ultimacy, who claim to be the powers in society? They are people like these gunmen in the movie. I would say, you know, bully boys up and down the centuries with swords or with spears or guns. Pick your era, you know, pick your weapon. But bully boys who claim, we're in charge, we're the gods, we're the ultimate ones because we wield this kind of power. What this movie is about, I think, is the true God passing judgment on those fallen false gods. And what's the vehicle of that judgment? In this movie, it's these seven brave, simple, peaceful Trappist monks who stand resolutely against the violence of the world. They don't cave into it. They don't fight back on its terms. They fight back with the weapons of the gospel, of peace and nonviolence. But in that process, what they do is they call down God's judgment on these false gods. That's why I think this movie finally is about who rules the world. It's not these pathetic, tough guys with their guns and their threats. They're not the ones who rule the world. Finally, it is the true God. And he's used these good and simple monks as the tool and the vehicle of his judgment.